we do fight for justice in Palestine, we also should not forget our brothers and sisters in Sudan right now fighting a very similar battle. Because our fight for Palestine is a fight against colonialism in all its forms. It's a fight against fascism, against racism, against neocolonialism and imperialism. And we've said this before, but none of us are free until we are all free. Yasser, who is a Sudanese activist, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Please welcome Yasser.
It's now been 946 days of Sudan's war. 946 days of murder, genocide, rape, and torture of the Sudanese civilians by two armed militias, the SAF and the RSF, two wings of a counter-revolutionary war against the people of Sudan. Sudan's war of the last 2 years is not a forgotten or silent war. It is a war of atrocities, starvation, bombardment, and displacement, fueled by the multiple regional and international imperialist forces, including the United States, Israel, the European Union, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. The UAE in particular is a US ally and weapons buyer. It has been materially supporting the RSF in their genocidal campaign. Australia engages in arms deals with both Saudi Arabia and UAE, and has persistently rejected calls from the UN and humanitarian bodies to ban sales arms to these countries. Just like the weapons parts this country manufactures to murder people in Gaza, the weapons exports to countries like the UAE make Australia complicit in this counter-revolutionary and genocidal war. They represent but another arm of imperialism. The rapid support forces ethnic cleansing in Darfur in West Sudan and Kordofan in Central Sudan is possible because the UAE funds, arms, and protects them. In Darfur, 99,128 people and counting have been displaced from Enfashir and surrounding villages since the 26th of October. In Kordofan, Bara, the rapid support forces executed dozens of civilians after reclaiming the city, and the thousands who fled the violence are suffering from acute hardship, from displacement, and a shortage of basic necessities, food, clothing, and medicine. And this is true for a lot of Sudan. This hellish, systematic violence is a result of all the wars Sudan has endured, marked by barbarity and the failure to bring perpetrators to justice. Impunity has never been an exception. Rather, it is a central reason for the recurrence of these crimes. The ongoing absence of accountability has recreated an environment that allows the return of war crimes and genocide against the populations of cities and villages as soon as the regime's forces, the SAF, retreat. We also emphasize, as the Sudanese people, that the failure to secure unarmed civilians and the withdrawal of the army from the steadfast city of Enfashir for months in the face of the Janjaweed militia, the RSF, is an irresponsible act deserving condemnation and accountability. The primary and most important duty of a nation's army is to protect its citizens and their homeland, not to protect itself and its interests. The systematic and persistent targeting of pro-democracy actors is a defining feature of Sudan's war, exposing its deeper nature as a counter-revolution against Sudan's democratic aspirations. This counter-revolutionary war and its movement is a crackdown on civic spaces to eliminate civilian-led governance. While they may differ in tactics and motivations, both the SAF and RSF share an interest in suppressing this counter-revolutionary agenda, explains why civilians are consistently targeted, wherever they are, by SAF and RSF. And these attacks against civilians have spiked either as punishment or for allegedly collaborating with either group. The war is both a counter-revolutionary war against the Sudanese people, but also an imperialist scheme aimed at weakening the Sudanese state and creating conditions for disintegration and division to deplete the capabilities of the people, to deplete the wealth of the country, and to violate national sovereignty. This political and economic dimension of the war, local, regional, and international, places a double responsibility on the international community, that's us, to intervene immediately to stop this war and these massacres. We demand an immediate ceasefire, the declaration of a humanitarian truce, and a complete opening of humanitarian corridors to El-Fashir and other areas of Darfur, Bara, and all of North Kurduvan and South Kurduvan, ensuring the protection of aid convoys. We demand a quick, independent, and transparent international investigation into war crimes and to hold accountable all who committed, ordered, or contributed to these crimes. We demand urgent action from the peoples of the world, its democratic forces, and human rights organizations to pressure states and international bodies to halt any support or political or military complicity with the parties responsible for these actions. That includes forcing Australia to stop being complicit in genocide by immediately ceasing the exportation of weapons and/or weapon parts to the United Arab Emirates. 90% of Sudan's gold is being sent to the UAE. The UAE has no gold mines. Their gold trade is predicated on the exploitation and the massacres of Sudan and exploited countries in Africa. From Gaza to Darfur, stop the killing, stop the war. From Gaza to Darfur, stop the killing, stop the war.
Stop the killing, stop the war.
From Gaza to Darfur, stop the killing, stop the war.
Gaza to Darfur, stop the killing, stop the war.
Free the people, free the land.
Free the people, free the land.
We demand a free Sudan.
We demand a free Sudan.
Free the people, free the land.
I first got involved in the struggle to free Palestine, for a liberated Palestine, in 1967, in the Six-Day War. We were totally isolated then. We had virtually no support. It's been a long slog since then. And I would like to say what I believe the movement here and internationally has accomplished in the last 2 years. We were not able to end a genocidal war, but we have done a number of things, I believe, that are great accomplishments as a result of these demonstrations here and in Sydney and internationally. The first of which is Palestine has become again a political issue. They cannot hide it. They cannot attempt to organize the Middle East with the so-called Abraham Accords of the United States and Israel and Saudi Arabia, creating a Middle East in which Palestine does not exist. That's what they wanted to do before this war broke out, okay? The second thing that I think we have accomplished is we have won the battle for public opinion internationally. 2 years ago when this war started, most people were supportive or sympathetic to Israel. It has been an enormous change. Throughout the world, tens of millions of people are now pro-Palestinian and for the liberation of Palestine. And that did not exist 2 years ago. And that is a result of both the horror of this genocidal war and the resistance in Palestine and here in Sydney and internationally in the work that you have done to make this an issue, to make this war an issue. You have won tens of millions of people throughout the world. And you have won millions of people to take part in demonstrations here in Australia and internationally. Your demonstration of 300,000 people a little while back was an enormous accomplishment, not just for yourself, but it gave strength for the movement internationally. They saw what was going on here. They felt stronger, just as we felt stronger when they upped the ante with a general strike in Italy, with strikes in Spain and Greece, and so on. tens of millions of people, I shouldn't say tens, millions of people throughout the world have taken part as a result of these demonstrations. I think that one of the most important things that has been accomplished is because of the strength of this movement internationally, because the Palestinians continue to resist, because of the change in public opinion, what they wanted to do about Gaza and the West Bank only a couple of months ago has been pushed back, at least temporarily. The American government, Trump's government, said, we want to turn Gaza into a beautiful real estate. The Israelis want to carry out a second Nakba and get the population out of Gaza. The Americans had come out for the Israelis annexing the West Bank. All of that has been turned on its head in the last couple of months. They have stepped back from that, at least temporarily. Partially, it's because American imperialism has gotten everything it wants in the Middle East. It now controls the Middle East, and when the Israelis bombed Qatar, their Arab allies, Qatar, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, said, either you discipline Israel, or we are going to look for other alliances with China and else. So the Americans stepped in, and they said very simply to the Israelis, we run things. Trump announced, we decide, not Israel. Israel is just their military puppet. The Americans decide, and they decided that they're no longer for the annexation of the West Bank, at least this year. They're no longer for displacing the Gaza population. You have to have a ceasefire, you have to make peace, etc. Of course, they've gotten everything they've wanted out of it. We don't know whether this ceasefire will hold. But for us, there is no ceasefire. Not for what we want, which is to liberate Palestine. We are not signing up for a ceasefire. We will continue this struggle until Palestine is liberated. We will fight, we will organize, we will educate, we will continue to demonstrate, and we will build this movement internationally.